I want to share a little bit today and preach for a few moments really along these lines today because it really is a powerful season for us. Next Sunday, we're going to be starting a new series, and I want to give you a fair warning. It is a series about relationships. But I'm giving you fair warning because when you see us start advertising and promoting on social media, there's always people that get really nervous when we talk about relationships. I've not done this I don't do relationships every single year. We've not done it in a couple of years, but it's not going to be what you think. I'm not teaching about marriage per se, but we're going to talk about the arithmetic of relationships, and I promise you, you don't want to miss this because it's about all of the relationships in our lives. It's not just our spouse or lack thereof. It's not just our mama if they're still with us. It's our work relationships. It's our school relationships. It's our neighbor relationships, and they're so very important, and they contribute so much to our spiritual well-being. And so I don't want you to miss next Sunday. It's a wonderful time to invite someone to that. I will give you just a sneak peek. We are going to have a special relationship-driven weekend. I think it's March the 12th. March 12th. Is that right? March 12th is a Sunday? Okay, then it's March the 10th is a Friday. If I'm wrong, somebody let me know that. I don't have calendar in front of me, but March 10th is going to be a special relationship night. We have guests coming in that are going to be with us on a Friday night, date night. It's going to be fantastic. We'll get you more information about that, but go ahead and block it out on your calendar, and then they're going to be with us on Sunday, just talking about relationship and family and all of those things. So the next few weeks are going to be a blessing. And you want to be a part of them, and go ahead and invite someone to be with you, because everyone needs help in their relationships, and I don't want them to miss it. Let me read today from Judges chapter 7. I'm going to work my way through this chapter today, and it really is powerful. I'm watching the clock. But I don't want to be in a hurry. That doesn't mean I'm going to preach a long time, because I want to have plenty of time in the lobby today with a small group sign up. But I don't necessarily want to preach fast or loud today. I want to deliver my heart today and what I know God put into my spirit. Judges 7, beginning at verse 2, and the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" I'm reading from the New King James Version today, so I'll take a moment to explain and make sure that you understand what we're reading together. The people with you, Gideon, are too many. It is a rare occasion that God will say the crowd is too big. It's a rare instance that the Lord will say, "You have too many people. I need you to thin that out. I need you to cut that down some," because he is a God of crowds. He is a God of multitudes. He is a God of gathering, no doubt. But he also wants the glory. And he said, because you have so many people, because there are so many people in your army, Gideon, when you go out to this battle, the people are going to say, it's because of our numbers. It's because of our strength. It's because of our weaponry. It's because of who we are that we won this battle, and they're not going to give the glory or the credit to the Lord, who rightly deserves it. So he said, if you stay this large, someone is going to say that you had enough to do this on your own. So I need you in a smaller group so that I can work supernaturally through you. Preaching today about Gideon's small group. Verse 3, now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. So they began with 32,000 people in this army, and with one question: are any of you afraid to go into battle? 22,000 of them moved and said, yeah, I gotta go back to the house. I'm not quite ready for this. I don't know this is what I signed up for. I don't know that this is what I am prepared for. So now they've gone from 32,000 to 10,000. That's a much smaller group than they began with. They were afraid. They didn't feel equipped. They did not feel prepared. I think it's important to realize that in every crowd, there are many people who do not feel like they are ready to face the enemy. In a room this size, in a crowd this size, there is a large number of people that, you know, they're hiding behind their Sunday dress. They're standing next to somebody they feel is strong and well able to conquer the enemy, but they themselves feel like they are not equipped and they are not prepared. For some people, Sunday is the very best day of the week because they're around just so many like-minded people and faith-filled people and spirit-filled people, and I agree just the same. But let me get to Monday or to Tuesday and I've got to work around people who are godless, people who do not honor the Lord. Let me go to school where it's just craziness and chaos. Let me go out into the world and just deal with spirits and all of the demonic attack going on in the world, and I just don't feel equipped to win the battle. The Bible didn't say that those 22,000 that left went to hell. The Bible doesn't say that they were lost. I just believe they went back home to get more training so that they would be ready for the next battle. That's why I want to get you ready. I want to get you ready for whatever battle you're going to face in 2023. I want to prepare you for whatever is going to happen, whatever is going to come. I want us to be prepared. And one of the ways that we can be prepared is to be in a small group that has a hands-on approach to equip us and to help us. Because in small group, we can get into the details, we can get into the weeds, we can talk things that we cannot talk. This is not a conversation today. When we were starting the church in Texas, my grandmother started coming to church. She was in her 70s. She had never attended church in her life, other than a wedding, other than a funeral. She had never attended church, never been a member of a church that I have ever been aware of. But we started the church, and you know, we'd have 40 or 50 people coming. We'd have 75, 100 people in the room. And because I was her grandson, you know, she just felt like she had carte blanche to say whatever she wanted to say. So I'd be up preaching like I am right now, and there would be something she didn't understand, and she would say, Daryl, wait just a minute. Can you go back over that again? Lord, have mercy. I told my mother, you have got to fix this. You got to fix this. That's why you got to get into a small group so that you can ask those questions, because right now is not the time to ask questions. It really wasn't funny then, but it's funny now. But that's the power of a small group, where I can be equipped and I can get into a place where I can ask those questions and I can grow in my faith. Everyone needs a small group. So then verse 4, the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. We started at 32,000, 22,000 left, and 10,000 remain. But the Lord is saying there are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. The Lord said, I'm going to test them. I'm going to find out who is capable. I'm going to find out who can handle this battle. I'm going to find out who can do this. From 32,000 to 10,000, it's still too many. Bring them to the water, because the water is always a test. I call it the thirst test. We're going to separate them according to their desire. We're going to separate them according to their passion. We're going to separate them according to how thirsty they are. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I will take thirst over talent any day of the week. I will take passion over someone's ability any day of the week. There's no shade to talented people, and no nothing unkind to people who know how to produce. But when someone is thirsty, when someone is desperate, when someone is saying, you know what, I'll do whatever I have to do, I want to be a part of what God is how God is working and how God is moving. It's the thirst test. How high are they lifting their hands? How loud are they singing their praises to God? Lord, let nothing be casual or passive about this house. We at the Church Covington want to pass the thirst test because we are thirsty for God to do what He wants to do in 2023. Does anybody agree with me? I'm thirsty. It's why we do not have casual or passive worship. We're reaching, we're moving. The waters are stirred, and we have an opportunity to drink living water every single Sunday. And I don't want to miss my opportunity to drink my water, drink from the Spirit, and get my thirst quenched. So verse 5, the Bible said that He brought the people down to the water. That's why I'm so grateful for our worship team. So grateful for our band. They rehearse throughout the week. They prepare. They get ready. What's happening? We want to bring people to the water. I'm so thankful for our prayer team. They're bringing people to the water. I'm so thankful for church kids, teachers and staff and ushers and people that prepare, cafe workers, whatever it is, people who clean buildings and get ready for Sunday. What are you doing? We're bringing people to the water. When people walk through these doors, we want burdens to lift off of them. When people drive onto this campus, we want the cares of this world to minimize and God to be maximized. When people come into this house, we want the weight of the world to lift off of them and the glory weight to settle on them. I want somebody to arrive one way and leave another way. I want someone to come depressed, come discouraged, leave delivered, leave empowered. Come on, we are bringing people to the water. Got to bring people to the water. But it's up to you whether or not you're going to drink, whether or not you are going to get your thirst satisfied. And that's what the Lord is dealing with. And so the Lord said to Gideon, continuing verse 5, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set him apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. I know that almost reads confusing, I've preached this story for many years, and I've always just read this over and over and over because it seems like they're all drinking the same way. He said, I'm going to set aside those who drink like a dog drinks. And I'm going to set aside those who get down on their hands and their knees. It really is not about how the dog drinks. It's the fact that when they arrived at the water, they remained in their defensive position. They remained armored up. They remained prepared. They scooped up water with their hands and they stood there and drank, but they kept their eyes out where the enemy would be coming from. Others just dove down into the water and could have been attacked, could have been ensnared, could have been overtaken because they were not paying attention. But God said, I'm going to separate those who know how to drink correctly. I'm gonna separate those who are in a battle, but they remain standing. I'm gonna separate those who are facing circumstances in life, but they're not just giving up and laying down in the mud. They're remaining sober and remaining vigilant and remaining prepared for what the enemy may try in their life. So they go from 32,000 to 300. Now that's a small group. We start with thousands, and now we have hundreds. Look at somebody and tell them, get in a small group. Get in a small group. There are those who understand. Life gets crazy, but if I remain sober and I remain vigilant, if I'm aware that the enemy is prowling around, you're not in a group because you're weak. You're in a group because you are strong and you want to be stronger. I've noticed the people that get into groups are people who are very engaged in church life. People are committed, who are saying, you know what, I just want to grow my faith. Man, when you mentioned the Beatitudes, I've never really understood that, so that sounds interesting to me. They want to know more. They want to grow more. They want to see all that God has for them, and they want to be stronger. Then, verse 7, the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. God said, Gideon, I'm going to use this small group to make a big difference. There may be some people that you need to let go of. There may be some people in your life you need to turn away. You may need to let them go to their place. Let them do what they're going to do. You cannot drag them by the ear to meet you in a spiritual place if that's not what they want to do. So it's all right in 2023 to separate yourself from people who are not moving in the same direction that you are moving in. Pray for them, love them, witness to them. But don't be slowed down by them. I'm already teaching that relationship series. Be high school, went through high school together. We'll always have gone through high school together. We're cousins, we'll always be cousins. You can't divorce cousins. Please don't marry a cousin. But you can't divorce cousins. Family's always gonna be family. But it's all right if I move on because God is calling me to greater. I got to get in this small group. I got to get in this small group. And he said, Gideon, this group is going to be victorious. I'm saying to you, you've not even signed up yet, and God is promising victory. God is promising a good report. Let me go on a little further in this chapter, verses 9 through 11. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. You've got 300, okay, facing an army that they estimate was about 100,000 strong. It's what history says. The Midianites were about 100,000 strong. Gideon has 300.
And he's nervous.
He's afraid. Remember, 22,000 went home because they were afraid. And now Gideon is admitting that, you know, I probably could have gone with those 22,000 because I'm a little scared myself. I'm a little afraid as well. But he said, I want you to arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. Who? The enemy. You're going to hear what the enemy is saying, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. So let me explain this. He said, Gideon, I want you to sneak down to the enemy's camp, and I want you to listen. Gideon, I want you to eavesdrop. You're struggling to believe my word over your life, so I want you to listen to the enemy's word about your life. And if you're afraid to go, take Purah, your servant. I don't suggest this. This is a rare recommendation, because I don't advise you to listen to what the enemy is saying to you, because what the enemy is saying to you are lies and insults and defeat and failure, and you're nothing, and you're never going to make it, and you're never going to attain or achieve. So here's the difference. Don't listen to what the enemy says to you. Instead, listen to what the enemy says about you. Don't miss that. Don't listen to what the enemy says to you, because what he's going to say to you is that you are nothing, and you have failed, and you have messed up, and you were strong this time last year and got weak. You were tough a few months ago and then fell off the wagon again. So that's what the enemy's going to say to you. But about you, that's a whole different conversation. About you, the enemy is saying, if she ever realizes who she is in God, if he ever understands that God is on his side, there will be no stopping him. I don't know who I'm preaching to today. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you've been listening to what the enemy is saying to you, and the enemy is just speaking defeat over your life, and sickness over your life, and disease over your life, and fear over your life. But about you, he's saying, I got to keep her down. I've got to keep her off step. I've got to keep him from getting into a godly routine. I've got to keep him from believing the word of the Lord with all of his heart. Because if they ever believe, if they ever buy in, if they ever trust God with everything they are going to destroy everything that I have established in the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what I want to do. I want to raise hell. I want to destroy the kingdom of darkness in this community. That's what the enemy is saying about us. I'm preaching good. Gideon sneaks his way into the camp. The Bible said that he saw camels without number. Everywhere he looks, camels. Camels represent soldiers. I can't even count how many camels are down in this valley. That means there's that many soldiers. And if there's that many soldiers, that means there's that many swords. And if there's that many swords, that means there's that many shields. I've got 300. This is what I'm going. Lord, you're saying I had too many? What in the world? As far as I can see, are soldiers and swords. But listen to verse 13. 14 and 15, and when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his commander. Let me keep you with the story. Gideon has snuck his way into the camp and overhears a conversation. He's hearing one of the enemy, the Midianites, speaking to his friend. And he says, you know what? I had a dream last night. Had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. It's the enemy talking. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon. Nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash a man of Israel, into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. That's what the enemy is saying about him. You know, there's people over at the top of the hillside that are saying, Gideon, you better not even try it. We got 100,000, man. You might as well just keep your 300 over there. Don't start nothing, won't be nothing. You know you can't handle this, Gideon. That's what the enemy says to us. Don't pray. God doesn't hear your prayer. Don't fast. God doesn't care about your fasting. Don't come to church and worship and get around this altar and believe God and trust. It's a waste of your time. But to his buddy, he's saying, man, I don't know if we can hold it off much longer. They keep going to that altar every Sunday. They keep worshiping their heart out every Sunday. I mean, I got a few more tricks up my sleeve and a few more arrows in my bag. I'm going to shoot them all at them this week. I'm going to go hard at them this week. I'm going to do everything I can to knock them out. I'm going to send bad news and disappointment and negativity into their life the next 5 days. And so maybe they won't even come to church next Sunday. Who am I prophesying to? I feel like I'm not preaching. I'm prophesying to somebody. Maybe they won't even come to church next Sunday. But about you, the enemy is saying, oh, if they show up one more time, It's going to cancel every attack. It's going to cancel every plan. It's going to cancel every scheme. It's going to take care of every issue in their life. Hey, Gideon, you are victorious. You and your small group are about to win this battle. And Gideon is like, he hears the telling of this dream. What the enemy is saying, God has been telling him now for weeks, Gideon, I've put victory into your hand. Gideon, I've made you victorious. But he said, I don't know, God. I just don't know if I believe you. But he gets over there and hears what the enemy has to say. And now all of a sudden, Gideon is this man of faith. He snuck his way in, trying not to step on a dried leaf or break a twig underfoot. But he hears this, and all of a sudden Gideon stands up boldly, and the Bible said, let me just read it. And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, I'm closing, and its interpretation, that he worshiped. Didn't say he got back to camp where he was safe among his 300. No, he started worshiping in the enemy's camp. He started praising God even in the enemy's camp. He started worshiping God even in the enemy's camp. They used to sing a song when I was a kid. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Meaning I don't have to wait until I have a release from the doctor. I don't have to wait until everything is sorted and worked out. I can worship God right now, even in the midst of the battle, even in the midst of the situation, even in the midst of the circumstance, even when they're still trying to find out what's wrong and they're still poking and prodding me and testing. I can worship God right now. Can I tell you that right now is a good time to worship Him? Wherever you are and whatever you're going through and whatever you're dealing with, don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Bible said, Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, and he worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. He runs back to his camp to gather his small group. They start armoring up, and Gideon said, don't even bother with that. Don't bother with the armor. In fact, leave your sword and shield in the tent. Pick up a trumpet. Pick up a lantern. Grab a pitcher. We began this day with God concerned that we would try to take the credit for victory. So in order to even let there be no question. We're not even going to use weapons in this battle. Well, Paul told us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're trying to fight today's battle with fists and offensive words and shady looks. And he said, I'm not gonna win. I'm not gonna win today's battle with modern weapons of warfare. We gotta do this with something that is not carnal. We gotta do this with spiritual weaponry. We gotta do this with praise and with worship and with intercession. We gotta do this with love for other people and kindness and care and concern. So he said, leave your armor. Leave the sword, leave the shield. Wait for my signal. When you hear me blow the trumpet, you blow your trumpet. When you see me break my pitcher, you break your pitcher. And so Gideon led his small group. I love this. Gideon led his small group of 300. Look at somebody, tell him, get in a group. He led his small group of 300 into the battlefield facing 100,000. And he does it. Braveheart William Wallace. Ooh! No, he blows a trumpet. He breaks a pitcher. And the 300 start blowing trumpets and breaking pitchers. Let me read verse 22, Judges 7. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. Because it was so unconventional. It was so crazy to the enemy. When they blew the trumpet, when they broke the pitcher, the enemy was not expecting that. They didn't even know what to do with that. They were so confounded and confused by what Gideon and the small group were doing that in their confusion, they jumped up, grabbed sword, and started killing one another. Gideon's small group, they're not even armored up. They're not even suited up. They're just worshiping God. They're just having church in the middle of the enemy's camp while the enemy are literally slaying one another. That's crazy, isn't it? That's the power of small group. I get connected to people. I get joined in with people. The small group went to worshiping and the enemy turned on one another. That's what we need in 2023, because the enemy has become too much. We need the enemy to knock one another out. Lord, I want you to win this battle, and I don't even have to get my hands dirty. I'm just gonna worship you with clean hands and a pure heart. I'm gonna magnify you, bless you, praise you, and believe the word of God that says the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. I know each day is more devil drama, but I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. All 2023. I told you last week my theme verse, I'm gonna keep my garments white and my head will lack no oil. I'm gonna keep worshiping God. I don't care what news comes. I don't care what diagnosis comes. I don't care what challenge comes. I'm gonna keep worshiping God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I'm going to bless the Lord and watch him work. Would you stand with me across the room today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know what y'all are doing or what key you're in, but day and night, night and day, let worship rise, incense. Sing it one time.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
Love this song.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
One time.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
Jesus. Today's altar call is going to be an opportunity to go to the lobby, get signed up for a small group. Because there's victory in connecting, joining, going farther. And I'm challenging you. I know there are people that can't, reasons and schedules. I get it, I understand. God's not mad at you. Please don't feel judged or condemned. You've got to do what you got to do in this season of life. But if you have a night, if you have an hour, some point during the week, I want to get in a group because these groups are going to be victorious. But before you sign up today, there may be someone in this room who says, you know what, Pastor Darrell, I have been listening to what the enemy is saying to me. And it's not been kind. It's not been fair. It's not been true. And I'm tired of believing the lie of the enemy. I'm ready to believe the word of God in my life, that I am victorious and I am an overcomer and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you're ready to stop listening to what the enemy says to you and hear for a change what the enemy says about you, I want you to pray with me today. I want you to say, you know what, count me in this prayer. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never just fully surrendered your heart. Or maybe you have, but life has happened and you feel like you need a renewal, a rededication of spiritual things in your life. We call it a yes moment. Today I'm saying yes. Today I'm choosing. I'm deciding. This is God's will for my life. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, from now on, I'm only listening to you. I reject the lies of the enemy. I silence his negativity in my life. Today I am victorious. Today I am more than a conqueror. Today I can do all things through you because of the strength that you give to me. Today I repent of my sin. I reject the world. I reject addiction. I reject just lifestyle that's not godly. Today I choose you. I say yes to you. Today I receive your gift of grace. Today I receive your gift of salvation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give praise today for people saying yes. They're going to worship us out in just a moment, and I know you're not going to hang out long because you want to get to the lobby and sign up for a group. But if you just prayed that prayer with us today for the first time, or maybe a rededication, go to these yes banners. Grab one of these books called Following Jesus. Let it help you with next steps. Get in a next steps small group. It'll bless your life. But these are a few pages that'll help you just know what's coming and what's happening and what God is doing. If you're online and you decided to follow Jesus today, text the word follow to 404-777-4701. You can do that in the room as well. You'll get a link back. Give us your email address, and this same booklet will land right there in your email in just the next few minutes. Amen. God bless you today. Come on, team. Worship us out today. Thank you, Jesus.